words. What is that stuff in the air? It's more that snow. Wanna take a trip? Yeah? We're not? No, not on the airplane. I got something better. Now we're gonna get on a train today. You ready? Here we go.
It's my day. Bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga choo-choo?
I got my fare
and just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam.
So Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
all aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga, Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga choo-choo.
I feel the impulse to put a hand behind my ear, emanating from the Chicago studios. This is Glenn Miller from 1942. A hit song in those days. That was a record that sold a million copies. That was a gold record in way back when. So the Chattanooga Choo Choo this morning. It's 5 after the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. We are up in Adam, and we're looking out the window here. It's snowing, 12 degrees now, flurries. You know, the new weather thing, it's so precise. I just spit it off here. Flurries stopping in 34 minutes. So we will set your watch, but it's flaky right now and coming down. We'll hit a high of 18 today, and it'll get down to about 5. So good day to cuddle up to your radio. Thanks for joining us here. We'll talk to Aaron, the news baron, and Aaron, the science baron. We're going to decode some pretty compelling news stories today. Later this hour, I still haven't got my vaccine. That's another story, but our friend in Chicago, Al Katz, is out in Vegas, and he's gotten his two shots. I'm gonna compare the two systems there. So all of that going on. Elsewhere, a vote on the constitutionality of Donald Trump's impeachment trial passed with the support of only 6 GOP senators. Now, Democrats and Trump's lawyers have up to 2 days each to make their case. So set your DVR. Investigators determined that the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant and 8 others last year was caused by the pilot's poor decisions. I think we kind of knew that. He became disoriented after flying into clouds. He lost control of the aircraft. That's in the LA Times today. In Minnesota, a 67-year-old man is in custody after a shooting at a Minnesota health clinic that left one person dead and 4 others injured. Here in Chicago, the Chicago Teachers Union approved a school reopening plan. CPS in-person classes are going to resume tomorrow. We got what we were able to take, is the takeaway from that. In Chicago's public health commissioner, Dr. Allison R. Waddy, very sharp woman. We always want to pay attention to her. Yesterday, again, implored people to stop sharing vaccine appointment codes at its city-run sites. You getting this? It's a recurring issue that she said had caused logistical headaches for her staff and had taken up shots from people who are actually eligible. You have groups that are there. It's time for them to get the vaccine. You have your frontline workers, the healthcare people. They're using codes up here, and it sounds to me, I'm reading here, Arawati struck a sterner tone than 2 weeks ago when she said that the Chicago Department of Public Health canceled an unspecified number of vaccine appointments for teachers who inadvertently used a code meant for home health care workers at its mass vaccination sites. It's a scramble. We either do not have enough vaccine, we don't have the bureaucracy to spit it out. Anyway, Dr. Allison Arawati, I pay you close attention to her here in Chicago. In Washington, that TV show is on again. I didn't like it the first time. It's that impeachment thing. Democrats laying the case out for convicting former President Donald J. Trump today as the Senate forges ahead. Let's see what Aaron, news baron, has to say about this. I'm slightly burned out. I have to tell you, but we'll plunge ahead here. 6 Republican senators crossed to the other side. That would be the side of sanity, and went along Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Patrick J. Toomey of Pennsylvania, all voted to go ahead with the impeachment. So there you go. I need like an organ sound effect. The suspense continues. In Washington, also, this is a story that you know about. Just make sure you know about it. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, our new defense secretary, a career military man, general, first black defense secretary, faces an early test as he races to advance a major initiative targeting far-right extremism in the ranks. It's according to the Washington Post this morning. It's a challenge that officials acknowledge is complicated by the Pentagon's lack of clarity on the extent of that threat following the United States Capitol riot. Austin's highly unusual order for a military-wide stand-down, slated to pause normal operations in the coming weeks so the troops can discuss internal support for extremist movements. That underscores the urgency of the task ahead, for the retired four-star general. You know what I did? I pulled up this morning, and this is not a, not saying it's long. I'm certainly not going to read it on the radio. You could pull this up, though. It's a memorandum for a senior Pentagon leadership, defense agency, and DOD field activity directors. And it's about the stand down. It's about a long page. It's very interesting. It talks about, and it's General Austin, Secretary Austin now, saying that everybody in government, from people in uniform to civil service officers, they all take an oath of office to defend the Constitution. And that's where it goes from there. So I'll let you ponder that. He's got his hands full there. So, and I do too. Unfortunately, it's full of notes about whatever is happening in Washington. Hey, here's good news. We have a birthday for Roberta Flack. Has a birthday. My goodness, she's 84 today, born in Black Mountain, North Carolina. We will absolutely have some more of Roberta Flack today, along with all kinds of stuff, including Aaron the News Baron, who joins us this morning. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Let me just get your dials up there. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. We have so much to delve into today. I'm much more interested in Elon Musk than anything that's happening in Washington. But I guess we should take a moment and talk about that impeachment thing. Are you following it? How's that going?
Yeah, I did see the first day yesterday, and it was really interesting, to say the least. But you had the impeachment lawyers from the House, the impeachment manager, and then you had Trump's representatives. And obviously I'm biased on this one, but trying my hardest to be nonpartisan with that, I think Trump's impeachment lawyers did a terrible job. They were all over the place. At the beginning, you kind of thought you saw where they were going, but then they took a hard left. They even admitted that they changed their plans last minute after hearing the impeachment manager's case. So it was honestly a S show. It was.
Did you see? I watched the. I probably watched an hour of the Democrats. I don't know this gentleman. He was incredibly articulate, African-American dude, who I think was a prosecuting attorney, I gathered. One of the impeachment managers. Help me with his name if you could. But anyway, I thought he was terrific. He was terrific and made the points. I then, in full disclosure, took a nap. And then I woke up. And then later that first, so it's the time, the day went by. And then I eventually tuned it back on. And it was still going on, and I had just sort of lost. And by the time the Republicans came on, I wasn't going to watch that. So anyway, listen, this is a game in some ways. We know the score. We know what the end of the score is going to be. So it's an exhibition game? Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I don't know how to put it. But I mean, what you're watching it. You must have had some other things to do yesterday. But for some reason, you tuned it in, right? So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, since 2016, I felt as if this presidency, I really needed to take it all in. I wasn't alive for Reagan. I wasn't alive for a lot of for Nixon. So being able to take this in the moment, I think for me and my long-term, you know, political ideology is important. But so this is like kind of like that last hurrah. So being able to hear, because this yesterday was specifically on the constitutionality of it, not necessarily on the merits yet.
Right.
So just knowing that they didn't really have a case to be made, but wanting to see what they would say specifically. And some key takeaways for me were that, one, they called out the Republicans or the representatives of Trump, called out specific senators saying, well, if you make this vote today, who's to say the pressure you're going to face tomorrow? When your representatives are pushing you to do the same to the current president. And the points that they were making were so stark and understanding that Trump is not going anywhere. He is here for the long run. This is just a little, he's going to stay quiet while this goes on. He knows he's going to get acquitted. In a few months, he'll be back in the limelight. You could tell from their arguments.
Yeah, it's 18 after the hour. This is Aaron the News Baron here on Pirate Radio from Chicago. During the nap time there, I had this dream about this guy's name is Belknap, who was the Secretary of War under Grant, who was a very corrupt guy. And they impeached him after he left office. He quit, and then they moved to impeach him. This is about, I don't know, 1869, something like that. Anyway, but that's the precedent right there that, you know, although this guy wasn't the president, but the idea that the Senate had already decided, yeah, somebody could quit and they could still go back and get him again. So right. I don't know. Did America leap up and say, "Oh, I need more news about a 19th century Secretary of War. Tell me more."
Right.
So I mean, I don't know. I gotta say though, they had this whole thing was like a PowerPoint presentation, either gone bad or gone good. I don't know. What right. about it? I mean, it was well illustrated, all of it, right?
Yeah. So yesterday, I think that one should be taken with a bit of grain of salt. So the majority in the Senate came together about the rules. They had a little, remember last impeachment, there was a little thing in the beginning where in the rules it stated we'll have a vote on whether or not we'll have any witnesses, then we'll have the trial.
Right.
This is kind of like a version of that. We're going to have a little vote on the constitutionality, then we'll have the trial. So today, so you saw kind of like a hinting of it where you had that video where they kind of had the juxtaposition of the little clips from the crowd and clips of Trump. That's kind of like, I think, a little teaser trailer. Today, we're going to see the real case that the impeachment managers are going to bring and they say they're going to have new information that has been released. They're taking this, they're acting as if this is a criminal trial. Well, so I think today we'll set the stage.
Well, it's interesting. Somebody pointed out, it's the obvious, but you don't generally have a trial at the crime scene.
Right.
And that has really spun this, and that's why you're not going to probably have witnesses per se. So.
And the jurors are witnesses. Some may be conspirators, co-conspirators, but This is a toughie.
Did you now? Should we send a basket of flowers or a fruitcake or a cheese log to the Republican senators across the line? I just read their names.
Some of Aunt May's chocolate pie.
Yeah, I love all that. But I mean, listen, come on. If Susan Collins, God bless her, but if she were running for Senate in Illinois, I'm still not going to vote for her. I'm not. Right? So it's sort of people are like, well, They're a little less crazy. You know, I mean, Marjorie Greene, what is her name? She has set a new bar. So anyway, all right. I'm going to ask you to call me at home anytime, day or night, if anything happens on the impeachment.
And, all right, we'll do.
You know, it's unlikely that that'll happen, but I'm saying you have the options. All right, stand by for a second. Then we're gonna do something completely different, I think, and it has to do with science.
Need a new car? Come on down to Crazy Jerry's, because I'm slashing prices like crazy. Want a beige 1972 sedan? We got that. Or how about if you want a beige 1972 sedan? We got that, too. And what color do you want?
Beige.
Well, we got that. That's right, folks. We got beige ones on the front lot. And over there in the back, we got beige ones. Looking for something maybe in beige? Well, we got it. We got them in beige, in beige, and in beige. You like 1972 sedans? Sure you do. Well, we got them. We got four-door ones. We got beige ones. We even got four-door beige ones. So come on down. I got just the car for you.
You expect options everywhere else in life. Are you getting them when it comes to your medical treatment? Explore all your options and talk with your doctor about what's right for you. Knowing your options is the best option. Learn more at ahrq.gov. That's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And all of us here from Pirate Radio from Chicago, where it's 22 after the hour. Aaron, the science baron now, in a spin. Well, I've been waiting for this. I couldn't wait for that damn impeachment thing to end. Elon Musk says that a Neuralink monkey can play video games with its mind, is the headline. Yeah.
Yes.
What? Go ahead. What's a Neuralink monkey?
So, I wish I would have done a better job of leading up to this. So basically, we all know Elon Musk, and unfortunately, we talk about him almost every week. But we have to, because he has so many. He's the CEO of so many companies that are on the forefront of bleeding edge technology. So Neuralink is another one of these companies where they're basically trying to make an AI, an artificial intelligence mesh with your brain.
All right.
So like an interface with your brain and AI. So they tried it out on pigs, where they implanted the Neuralink into the brain. It kind of, they take out a little section of your skull and they put it in there, so it lays flush with your skull.
Right.
And they could read, they first used to read brain information. So they could read the, for instance, whenever the nose picked up a scent, it would send a little signal that could pick that up, or they could pick up when the joints were moving as it walked on the treadmill, things like that. Now they're trying to do writing to the brain, like a computer, read and write.
Right.
So now the monkeys are trying to interact with the Neuralink to get information from the brain to a computer. So interacting with a rudimentary video game on the screen, like Pong or something. Now they have monkeys that can play these games with their mind.
I love this, because you and I have started a couple of bands. The first band we founded last week was called Giant Predatory Worms. And then we had COVID Sniffing Dogs.
Right.
Open for us. But now it looks like we're going to be on the show with Elon Musk and the Neuralink monkeys. So but hang on a second. Wait a minute. You animal rights people who are listening to us, PETA, what is it? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Mm-hmm. Kathy Guillermo said, quote, Elon Musk is no primatologist, or he'd never suggest a monkey who's strapped to a chair with a metal device implanted in his skull and forced to watch video games all day, anything but miserable. There's a lot of people I know that are in that same, I'm sorry, they are in that same thing. They are not monkeys, but... Anyway, so what about this? Listen, Elon, you and I do talk about him a lot. I think because is he Bill Gates? Is he Steve Jobs? Or is he Nikola Tesla? Or is he some crazy guy who is just, you know, raising money? I'm not sure which, but he's certainly an interesting guy to talk about.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I say no because Elon Musk is such an interesting guy when we get into him. So, for instance, Tesla. He's the CEO of Tesla. He has meetings with the engineering team, with the software development team, with the materials manufacturing team, and knows almost as much as the leads of those specific groups within that organization. Same at SpaceX. He knows his stuff when it comes to, you know, rocket calculations. When it comes to Neuralink, he knows his psychology. And it's so interesting how clued in he is on what he chooses to invest in and the technical know-how that he has. So that's something that Steve Jobs didn't really have. He kind of had the visionary mindset, get it done by the 4th. We can't get that done. That's impossible. Yeah. But, you know, made it work. So this guy is, it's kind of like air. You can't just not breathe air. He's all around us, unfortunately.
Let's make a blood oath. Let's get him on the air. Elon Musk. Let's get him on. Elon Musk, an open invitation. Come on any morning. And in fact, I'm willing to have something implanted in my own skull. Can we see that happen?
I'll donate my mind to science.
All right. Now, this also, AI, again, artificial intelligence. Microsoft has patented an AI that lets you talk to the dead. So, thinking back to when I used to work for Tribune. go ahead, Noah. Go ahead. What about that? What is this?
So this is basically, so you know how we have little chat bots on different websites that try to help you around the website or things like that. Basically, they're working on a software that creates this chat bot based off of your online presence. So all of your social media accounts, all of your posts, images, and videos of you, they would upload all of this information, and then they tried to make a representation of you in the form of a chat bot. So this can be done for fictional characters, celebrities, historical figures, or random people who want to do this themselves. And then there's a second portion of this that would make a 2D or 3D model of you that can be paired with this AI. Again, giving different images or depth information from 3D scans of your face, video data, things of that sort.
This is like an avatar to the exponent, right?
Yes.
And here I'm just wondering, you know, should I have a long beard or a short beard? But this is real here. Tell me more. Are you anxious? Do we want an Aaron? And in fact, actually, Aaron, you're out of a job now. When I think about it, we just can't, you know, let's get Aaron on, you know.
One for each baron.
That's right. We've solved the multiple personality news issue. So, I thoroughly understand this. Where do we go with this? Does your avatar play my avatar, and then we sleep in, or how's that work?
Right. Well, both of these stories are kind of on the bleeding edge of what is consciousness or what is the I, that sort of deeper question. So, we'll see. What we learned over time as we're getting more and more advanced in our, you know, technical know-how, software is only as good as the coder, as the person coding it. So we may think that technology can get infinitely better, but we're still humans who are flawed that are writing the software for these algorithms. So do I think that you can get something pretty darn close to a person in the form of a chatbot? Of course. Huh. But I think that last 1%, I don't know. We'll see.
What was that original thing? Garbage in, garbage out, right? G-I-G-O, G-I-G-O,
yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
When we were using modems. Things like we were dialing up. So.
Right.
All right. One quick one here. It is coming up on 1:30 here. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. Aaron Mittens, our news and science and everything baron here. And I'm trying to make sense. Reddit, for all those of you that don't use a lot of social media, I thought Reddit was a pretty interesting thing. And the deal with Reddit was that people posted their questions and then they were rewarded points for answers, things like that. But now Reddit is at the center of, I didn't know, these groups that have, to some extent, successfully driven their wedge into stock trading. Wall Street Bets is a, that's a group on Reddit. And what happened to those people?
Yeah, so so Wall Street Bets is a Reddit group or organization, I don't really know what they go by, that in recent days has really blown up. So basically, all of these different groups, Wall Street Bets or otherwise, they have moderators, which they have full-time jobs being on the site, just going through the different posts, making sure nothing, you know, X-rated or over 18 is on there, keeping it relevant to the actual topic. And these moderators kind of switch in and out. They have different tiers. You have, you know, high-level moderators than people who are lower on the bottom. But basically, a group of these moderators were approached by a, I guess, a movie studio trying to give them a movie deal. And they approached some of the moderators that were no longer active on the site.
Oh.
So they approached these guys. These guys came back on the site, and they kind of just took over. I guess this was one of the people who were higher up. They came in, started deleting other moderators' accounts, and they basically staged an attempted coup to try to take over the moderatorship and get this movie due.
And the movie was, is the movie, it, what, tells the story of the GameStop thing? Is
you
that
know,
the, we don't know?
You know, I guess people see anything when they're in quarantine. I have no clue. Oh, I don't know.
All right. I don't know what to make of that at all.
Yeah, maybe it's they're part of a bigger movie telling the fuller story, but I don't know. This is a weird one.
I'm not sure. Come on, yeah. There's nothing more interesting than looking at a lot of people looking at screens for 2.5 hours. You know, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna have a car crash in there somewhere.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
gonna make it happen. All right, sir. Jeez. All right, we'll continue to work on this. Have a good day today, Aaron Mittens,
well.
Aaron the News Baron, and back to. Now back to my avatar, and let's do something from Roberta Flack.
First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the dark. And the endless skies, my love, to the dark, and the endless skies. And the first command, my love, that
Roberta Flack, on her birthday. She is still very much with us. She is 84 today. One of a bunch of hits. I pulled out a greatest hits to just kind of remind myself. She had a bunch of singles. And we'll try to get at least one more in, at least this hour, if we can. And thanks for joining us this morning. At 22 before the hour here, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Roberta Flack's birthday. And this is good. This a nice segue from chatting with Aaron about computer stuff. On this day in 1996, IBM computer Deep Blue, remember Deep Blue? Became the first computer to win a game of chess against a reigning human chess champion. That was Garry Kasparov. And the computer won. We didn't know what would happen after that. So interesting stuff today here. On the show, the rest of the week, coming up on Friday, we have someone. We have kind of a distraction. 10G. 10G is from Golden Dragon Fortunes. 10G is going to join us on the show on Friday. A person who purports to tell fortunes from Mahjong tiles. What? Wait a minute. Stop. Hang on. I actually have a Mahjong set here. Maybe I'll see if I can figure out what's going on. That's on Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to have a chance to chat with someone who I know a little bit about. In fact, I'm going to share what he does with you. His name is Tommy Perman, P-E-R-M-A-N. He's a Scot, from Scotland. And he's been doing some stuff that I think it's just real interesting. I'll play some of it for you. Combining bird sounds, for example, with music, things like that. Just interesting stuff. I was talking to Sparks about this. It's very relaxing. We don't want you to go back to sleep in a morning show here. But it's super cool. In fact, let me do a little bit of that. Maybe we'll do a segue here. Because I still got to order the bird feeder and all that stuff here. All right. This is from Tommy Perman. This is called Ladybird Laughter.
Ribbon recording birds.
Chip, 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 chip. Bawk, bawk of a ladybird. Bawk, bawk of a baby.
First, I think you did, and the question is, what do musicians do around the world when we're in the middle of a global plague? They create interesting stuff. That's from Tommy Perman. We're going to chat him up live tomorrow from Scotland. So hang on for that. And in the middle of this, I'm going to try to order something. Just a little bit of a, let me bring up, this is another thing from him. I'm going to bring this up behind me. It's called Cheery Chirps. I'm trying to get something going. I called a PetSmart yesterday. Looked at their website. I can shop by pet. All right, I'm looking for bird food. All right. Oh. Okay, we got the wild bird food. All right, outdoor feeders, coops, and outdoor habitats. I mean, I could live in this. All right, I'm going to make some. So I'm going to call them up, and I don't want to waste their time or yours. I want to know what I want to eat up. See what I want to eat, what the birds want to eat. See, now I'm dealing with that out-of-body, that out-of-wing experience. All right, whole shell peanuts, wild bird, and wildlife food. This looks good with a beer, you think? KT Songbird Blend. Oh, there we go. I'm assuming this is for birds that already sing. This doesn't teach them to sing. Oh my God. Ooh, here it is, black oil sunflower wild bird food. Ooh, what a deal. $20, huh? All right, birds, hang on. I'm on my way. Marvin Gaye warm us up here. It's 14 before the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. And now we go to a place where it's warm. Right, my city gonna set my soul. The Dead Kennedys. I know. Should have played Elvis. I'm sure Al Katz would agree. Also known as Chicago Al, who's calling us from Las Vegas. Yeah, well, you know, we got to rotate it. There were a whole bunch of those, versions of that Viva Las Vegas. So, hello, it is warm out in Vegas, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It gets up in the 60s every day. It gets a little cool at night because there's no moisture in the air to hold the temperature in, but it warms up once the sun comes out. It's very nice.
Yeah. Which is why older people go out there. No.
Pardon?
Which is why older people go out there. No offense.
I would
no offense.
So. Yeah, it's really nice. July and August, they say, are very impressive. So I'll travel, so it won't bother me.
So you got two shots. You already got your two shots. What a clever idea. I hadn't thought of this because I haven't gotten my vaccine yet, Al. But you were smart enough to move to Las Vegas.
You know, there's so many LDS here. They keep turning down the shots, so it's easy to get it.
And their lag time between the two shots is what? Like 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah, and I ended up with a 20-day. I was one day early. I was supposed to get it today. But Walgreens gave me a call yesterday and said, there's a glitch in our system. Would you like to come in today? I have no one. Do you know anyone who would like a shot?
And you said, fine, set them up.
I said, add a beer.
So, you know, the system, you're telling me, you're confirming what I kind of knew already, is that it really comes down, this stuff is perishable. And when they can't reuse it. So Walgreens called you personally. That must have been
they did. And they actually, for my first shot, I got an unsolicited email asking me if I wanted a shot, and that was my first one. So my first shot was a phishing shot, and my second shot was a phone solicitation. I am one lucky MF.
So the Walgreens was like, that was out of the blue. You were not already a Walgreens customer?
I have been. I have been. My drug program through Medicare is the AARP Walgreens program.
Okay.
So I get all my prescriptions and all my vaccinations done at Walgreens. I try to keep it simple because they let my primary care doctor know.
Right.
I got it down, Gary. For a fat old man, I'm doing well.
Yeah. Do you get your hernia stuff down there as well? In aisle four?
Well, I have a young woman for that, but thank you very much.
So, all right. So anyway, you did your shot there at Walgreens. Did it hurt, the first one?
Nothing hurt. I used the old joke, too. After they were done with the injection, I said, okay, I'm ready. I felt nothing.
And no side effects. A friend of mine had shot one, and her shoulder hurt. I heard that from a couple of people, and other people say no feeling at all. So no feeling, no side effect on the first one. And what about the second one?
Well, shot one, my arm hurt a little bit. Shot two, nothing, but it hasn't been 24 hours. It's only been 22 hours.
You cut out there. It was within 20. It's been within 24
it's
hours.
It's only 22 hours now.
Right.
And they say the issues can come up to 48 hours. So today when I go for my walk, I'll do tight circles in my apartment so I'm not far away if something goes wrong.
Well, and you're on the air now. If you pass out right now, we can send out. Is it still not? Is it 911 in Vegas, or is it 912 or something like that?
Yeah. You got to throw a 7 or an 11 first. and then you get 911.
So how are you doing? How are you doing out there? Are you making friends and people?
No, I haven't made a friend yet.
Yeah, really? What's the problem? What's the problem? You need a social agent out there.
No, it's the COVID.
Yeah.
I met a nice woman in the elevator of the building, who's from Iowa, and she's on the third floor. I'm on the fourth floor, and I haven't seen her since that one time. I would like to be her friend, but it's not. Lifestyle right now is not conducive to making friends.
Did you have an opening line for her in the elevator?
I did. I said I used to be an elevator operator. They let me go. I forgot the route.
And that's when she said, "I'm from Iowa." see, and I'm headed back.
she asked me if I had a wife.
Yeah.
And I said, "No, do you?" And she said, "No," which is comforting because a woman with a wife just wouldn't quit with me.
Well, I think, she's making, it sounds pretty aggressive in an elevator, no?
No, I agree, but I haven't seen her again. I'm online and such, but it's really difficult. I've met three or four women, but my standards must be too controlling because I blew them all off.
It's tough. I started a new passive aggressive dating site. It's called LeaveMeAlone.com. So it could
you see,
be.
I'm more polite. Please leave me alone.
Coming up on 5 before the hour here, I'm shooting the bull with Al Katz from Chicago, who's been out in Las Vegas. What's the? You think it's? I mean, you're obviously going to be disoriented when you go to someplace you haven't lived before, and then to walk into it with the COVID going on when everybody there is already disoriented. So that is a double dip, yeah.
Oh, it is. It is. Now, I was in Las Vegas multiple times in the 80s and 70s, 80s. In fact, the first time I came to Las Vegas, I came with Scott Gelman and his lovely bride, and we stayed at the Desert Inn, and which is so Rat Pack like.
That's the Sinatra place, right? Desert Inn?
Right. What? And the show in the showroom was Joel Grey is the opening act, and Liza was the headliner. Could you be more Vegas than that?
Jeez. The Desert Inn. I think that's the one, if I'm thinking, I think that's the place where Frank Sinatra got pissed about something and drove his golf cart through the window of that casino. I think that was the Desert Inn.
It is, because they do have a golf course there,
yeah,
too. I got to tell you a quick story.
Good.
Because I got the double shot already, I'm going to Los Angeles next Tuesday. You know, the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
And I'm having a Chicago reunion. I'm meeting up with Jeff Schwartz,
uh-huh,
Dave Alpert,
uh-huh,
and Dan Michaels,
uh-huh,
at Dan Michaels' restaurant in Sherman Oaks, Geno's East. For Chicago-style pizza.
Wow.
Does it get better than that?
tell them I said hello.
Oh, I shall.
And they're going to say, who was that again?
No, they won't. And the funny thing is, everything I do seems to be in groups like that.
Yeah.
When you, Marker, Parker, Bell, and I went to the ball game. What a great time we had. I'm very fortunate. I might be alone, but I'm certainly not lonely.
You are.
And I'm certainly loved.
You are loved, and you're not alone. And I'm going to come out, and we're gonna hang out together. Chicago Al Katz in Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
Be well.
Thank you, Gary. I enjoyed this very much.
This widecast was produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow, they're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.